As we turn briefly to the word of the Lord this morning. There we go. Thank you. There we go. I confess. Thank you, Melrose. I confess that I, as I was finishing up yesterday evening, I looked at it and I thought this and I thought that. I don't believe I had a huge inspiration for the title of the message last night. And finally, I thought, let me just keep it simple. God, the Holy Spirit. Because that's who we're going to talk about today on this Pentecost Sunday. As we talk about a different type of baptism from the water baptism that we just talked about. So if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, electronic or paper, either way, that you turn to Acts, the book of Acts, which is the book we go to when we want to talk about the Holy Spirit or the Gospel of John as well. And today we're going to look at, again, at the wonderful Holy Spirit, God, who is, think with me for just a minute, some of the names or the descriptions of the Holy Spirit that are meaningful to you. You may be a newer believer, or you may have been walking with the Lord a long time. Think for just a minute, for you, when you think of the Holy Spirit, what is something that for you is strongly in your heart? And anyone, let's take just a minute, and I'll repeat it after you so we can hear it online. Anyone? Okay, Counselor. Sorry? Comforter. Okay. Helper. Sorry? Provider. Anyone else?
Teacher.
Guide. Healer. Say that one more time, Sister Lisa. The one that walks beside you. Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of all of these, and I know there are many more. There is one that I would probably add to that also, although perhaps technically some would say, no, it's something else. But when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, not on the day of Pentecost, after the lame man is healed in the temple, and he tells them that repent. And be forgiven of your sins so that God may again send the Messiah, and that times of refreshing may come from the face of the Father. That's the actual translation. And I sometimes for myself think of the Holy Spirit as times of refreshing. I love that one. Or seasons of refreshing is another way of saying that. So we're going to talk for a while about, on this Pentecost Sunday, about God the Holy Spirit. Very, very simple. Our time, we don't have a lot of time anyhow, but we've been doing wonderful things this morning, and that is okay. I've really been praying for us. I've been praying for you, praying for myself. Youth, I've really been praying for you. On this Pentecost Sunday, probably it was 1993 years ago, that the year they're pretty exact. This is one of the dates that usually they can figure out, that they're quite sure of. So 1993 years ago, or 94 years ago, God the Father and God the Son sent and poured out God the Spirit on people who were waiting for him. They did not know exactly what it was going to be, what he was going to be like, even though Jesus had said, I'm going to send you another one like me. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I'm going to send you another counselor. That word, another, means one like another one, the same as this one. So what Jesus was saying to his disciples, even as he was saying, I'm going to leave you. No, don't leave us. Don't go. And Jesus tells them about this Holy Spirit the night that he is betrayed. It's during the time of the Last Supper. The very next day he's going to the cross. And he's telling them, I'm going to go away from you, but it's better that I go away. How can it be better for Jesus to go away? He said, another one is coming. And he wanted them to understand that the one he was sending was going to be in essence, in character, in nature, just like Jesus. That's why, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Some people are, right? They think, ooh, Holy Spirit. Oh, it's weird. It's weird. As I have said before, sometimes people are weird. But God, the Holy Spirit, is never weird. He's never weird, right? And if you say, well, I don't know any weird Christians, you are probably the weird one. But Jesus said, I'm sending one who's going to be like me in character, in nature, in essence. So you never, ever, ever have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He is in character like Jesus. And so turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at this passage, and very simply from this passage, we're going to look at four words that highlight the Holy Spirit. And these four words are found in this one passage. But if you will read about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, 16, and throughout the book of Acts and other places, you will see these words showing up again, again, and again. So we're going to highlight this. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1, and this is... Here we go. Sorry. Let me back up a little bit. So Acts 1, 4, and 5. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. This is maybe a day or two before he goes back to heaven. And he starts talking about the Holy Spirit. So if this morning you say, yeah, the Holy Spirit, I really know God and the Word is very important and all of these things, I want you to pause just a minute and consider with me that the two most pivotal times in the earthly life of Jesus with his disciples, actually three if you want to, but let me just look at these last two. One was the night he was going to be betrayed and leave them. They would not see him till he was resurrected. He spoke about the Holy Spirit, mentioned him almost 30 times. I think I counted 29 times. And then here, just before he returns to heaven, who does he talk about? What is his topic? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So don't downplay the Holy Spirit in your life, in church, in ministry. He is the most, in our present lives, he is the most important person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit during this time. Because God has put us and the church into the hands of the Holy Spirit in these days. So, let's look at this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He did not give them a suggestion. He didn't give them this would be good for you. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they ask him some questions. And then he says, they come back and they say, hey, what about this and that? And then Jesus says again, right before he leaves, but you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was gone. He went up, and then a cloud hid him. And so in this passage that takes place maybe a day or two before he returns to heaven, and then literally in the seconds before he returns to heaven, he talks about the Holy Spirit. So there are four words here I want us to look at very, very simply this morning. And the first word is very clear. Let me back up just a minute again. Here we go. The first word is baptism. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So important when we think about the Holy Spirit and we think about baptism. Holy Spirit, baptism. We've just celebrated those of you who were baptized in water. And when we look at what happens in the Bible and in the New Testament, we will see. Remember a few weeks ago when we talked about, I said, how many baptisms are there? And some of you were guessing. And I said, basically, there are three baptisms, okay? And one is being baptized when you get saved. You're baptized into the body of Christ, okay, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does that into the body of Christ, and then you're part of His family. The second one is what? So that's salvation. Second one is water baptized, okay? You're water baptized. You say, yes, I'm going to be baptized, a symbol of what Jesus has just done in your heart and in your life. You go into the water. You say, yes, I choose to be baptized. Someone says, yes, I will baptize you, and you have to be willing, and you go into what? We saw it, water, and then you come out again, a symbol of the new life. And then there is this baptism, which is Holy Spirit baptism as well. So this is what we're talking about. So first word is baptism, and I want you to see something in the Bible. Almost always for Christians, baptism in salvation into the family, water baptism, spirit baptism, they all went together. They all went together. It wasn't something that was separated by this and that. It wasn't something that was optional. It wasn't something that was suggested. It always went together. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. And so what I want to say to you this morning is, if you are not yet Holy Spirit baptized in the plan of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, this is part of your Christian life, as we're going to see. And so Jesus says to them, in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And He says, John baptized with water. Now, I want us to think about that for just a minute, because when we look at this and when we think about it, I want you to consider that they knew what water baptism was, right? All of them had been water baptized, all of these disciples. Most of them had been baptized by John in the River Jordan, almost all of them. And if you follow along a little bit later, Peter says to the disciples, okay, we have to choose another disciple to take the place of Judas who betrayed Jesus, and we have to find someone who was with us from the beginning, from the time John baptized Jesus in the Jordan until He left us. So that means the people that were gathered had heard John say this. Look with me. Wonderful words. This had to have been burning in their hearts. I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then in one of the other passages, it says, John even says, there is someone among us right now who's greater than I am. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, what was this Holy Spirit baptism and fire going to be? They didn't understand that, and they didn't know that. All they knew was water baptism. And they knew, okay, in water baptism, I chose to be baptized. I went down in water. I yielded. And then I came up out of the water. And then I repented. And then I walked in a different way. And then Jesus says to them, in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But all of them remembered the words of John, because John is the one who said, there's one that's coming. He's going to baptize you with fire. So, brothers and sisters, who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit? Who does? Jesus does. Jesus does. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to wonder. You may not know everything. You may not understand everything. But you can trust Jesus. Jesus is the one who baptizes. And He says, He will baptize you with Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus now says, in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, this first word, baptism, when we think about it, they had to be thinking, oh, Jesus, what is this going to be like? You're going to baptize us. And so we see, don't we, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So they were all together. They were all waiting for this Holy Spirit baptism. What was it going to be like? They didn't know what it was going to be like, except Jesus was going to be part of it. Holy Spirit was going to be part of it. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven. I love the word suddenly in the Bible. So often, suddenly introduces, boom, a great move of God. It introduces what God is going to do. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a violent wind. We don't have time to go all in all of this, but this is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Breath, when God breathed into man, the breath of life, and man became a living being. When Jesus breathed into you the breath of life, when you and I, you were dead in your sins. You couldn't have a relationship with God because of your sin. But Jesus breathed into you the breath of life. And you were brought into the family of God. And you now have a relationship with God. And so this wind is an Old Testament because they're moving from Old Testament to New Testament, aren't they? Here's something new and here's something different. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a violent wind. Those of us who live in Hong Kong and Philippines understand this, right? When was the last time a typhoon came through and you heard the wind whoosh, roaring and rushing? And then what else happens? It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Guess where they were sitting? They were not sitting on these chairs. Probably they were sitting on the floor, right? They saw what seemed like. Was it fire? No. It seemed like tongues of fire. Was it wind? No. It was like the roaring of a wind. So it was like wind. It was like fire. Two symbols of the Holy Spirit that separated because it came from God, came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Look at these words carefully. This is why I am not about, oh, you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Okay, say ba 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 and it will become the Holy Spirit. No, that's you and that's me. Who does this? Holy Spirit does this. The Holy Spirit gives the ability. Don't have to be afraid. Don't have to wonder. Don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit gives this ability. All of them, oh, look at that word, A-L-L, all. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. See something else here this morning. This is not our main point because we're going to look at four words altogether and our time is short now. But I want you to see this. How many of you have prayed before? I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in your zeal, you prayed, oh God, let me speak in tongues. Lord God, let me speak in tongues. Let me speak in tongues. Let me speak in tongues. What happens? First, you're filled. They were filled. They were filled. And what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and fills. Then tongues is part of it. It's an outward manifestation. But don't pray for tongues. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's God. And once He fills you, He can do anything in your heart and in your life. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. Amen. Amen. So baptism is the first word, like wind, like fire. He filled them. Now there was another person before them who was filled. Do you know who was filled before the disciples in the New Testament? Who was filled and remained filled? Who? Jesus. Jesus was baptized in water. He came up out of the water. And then it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. So I want us to see something this morning, brothers and sisters. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's not an optional experience for us. I'm not preaching this sideline, this or that. The disciples saw this man that they didn't know if he was God or not. Even though he's greater than I am and all of these things, here comes Jesus who's baptized in water. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove and did what? Remained on him. Remained on him. Didn't leave him. And then Jesus went out. And Jesus went about doing good. And Jesus went about healing people. And Jesus went about delivering people. And Jesus went about bringing hope to captives and delivering those who were in bondage. and setting free those that had never been free before, and bringing joy to hearts that were sad, and all of these things that Jesus did. How did He do that? Because He was full of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you something this morning. Do we live in a world that is any different from the world that Jesus lived in back then? It's no different. All around us, people are hurting. All around us, people are broken. All around us, people are hopeless. You can talk with the teenagers and the young people. Let me ask you about the students, about your classmates. I mean it. Let me ask you about your classmates. How many of them have said something to you or talked before about suicide? I mean it. I'm not being dramatic. This is the world we live in, or wanting to give up, or violence at home, or all of these things. We live in a broken world, and you and I, if we are going to go through this world and do everything that Jesus has called us to do, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this first word is baptism. And baptism means, what it, same as water baptism, I want to, I choose to. And the baptizer says, yes, I will. And then you yield. And then we're baptized. So the first word is, I got ahead of myself. Here, sorry, let me give you the nice screen. Baptism, okay? Baptism. And so we see this first word. Okay, let's go a little bit. And if you, by the way, if you want to read any further, I'm going to skip some of these. But you will see all the way through that the word baptism, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, the word baptism is used again and again and again throughout. Within the Samaritan believers, the Gentile believers in Cornelius's house. And then I want us to look at the second word as well. Okay, so first word is baptism. And then second word, let's look at the passage again. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Okay? And the second word I want us to look at is the word gift. Okay? I want us to look at the word gift. And do you know who I want us to think about the word gift with the Holy Spirit? Because you cannot qualify for the Holy Spirit. You cannot get good enough for the Holy Spirit. You cannot do enough good deeds for the Holy Spirit to be given to you. In fact, it is when you are at your most needy that God can come. Because that's when you're most humble, right? Oh, God, I blew it so badly. Oh, God. And so often, it is at those times when the gift of the Holy Spirit is given. If you'll read through, so that's in Acts 1:4, when he says, let me just look at that one more time again. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift my Father promised. But in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you go a little bit further, let me just read just a few more things. Let me go forward just a little bit. Peter talks about going to Cornelius' house. Look with me at this. He's telling the people in Jerusalem, because Cornelius, it was a bunch of, and I want you to look at this verse. I'm skipping over some. He went to Cornelius' house because an angel had appeared. In Cornelius' house, it was all Gentiles. Look, all Gentiles. None of them were circumcised. We say, what? Circumcision was the Old Testament symbol of water baptism in the New Testament. None were circumcised. All the Jews thought, you've got to be circumcised to be righteous with God. Not only that, remember in Cornelius's house, none of them had been water baptized yet. They hadn't even been water baptized. Peter stood up. He started preaching. They were listening. Their hearts were open. And as they were listening, somehow they got saved. They believed in Jesus just as he was preaching. No altar call. No, how many of you want to repent of your sins and join the church and accept Jesus? No. Their hearts were open to everything that Peter was saying. And they opened their hearts and And as they were sitting there listening, suddenly they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly what? The gift. Look with me. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them. So this morning, if you feel I don't qualify for the Holy Spirit, you're right. You don't. If you feel I'm not good enough, you're right. You're not. If you feel I've blown it, so I'm going to have to wait till I get my life worked out. Don't wait. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift. He's a gift. It's a gift that comes from God. And you don't qualify for gifts, do you? He says, so if God gave them the same gift as He gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift. Now, I want to go ahead and say something right here, because sometimes we say, oh, I have to pray, I have to ask, I have to, this and this. These people never even asked to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but their hearts were so open that God baptized them in the Holy Spirit. In our church, in the church in the U.S., I think I've mentioned this some time ago, years ago, the church was had a lot of different people. And the Holy Spirit was moving in the church, and there were people coming from a lot of different towns. And we had there was a military base nearby, and there were military families coming to the church. And one of the men was an instructor pilot for helicopters in the military base. It was largest helicopter training center in the Army in all the U.S. Fort Rutgers was the name. And he was in a helicopter up in the sky with a student next to him. He was training as they were going through the air. I don't know what maneuver they were practicing. And he suddenly was baptized in the Holy Spirit as he was flying a helicopter and teaching the student. Another woman was at home and she was making the bed. And you know how you make the bed, you flap the sheets out and you're getting the sheets. And she called Mom and she said, I think I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was making the bed and I was flapping the sheets. And as I was flapping the sheets, I started singing. But I sounded like an opera singer because I didn't understand any of the words I was singing. It was language that I didn't know. And she was baptized in the Holy Spirit as she was flapping the sheets and making the bed. If your heart is open, completely open, God can baptize you anywhere, anyhow, anytime. It doesn't have to be a huge emotional thing. It doesn't have to be, I've got to be at church. I've got to have fasted for 5 or 10 days. If your heart is open to God, He will baptize you because the Holy Spirit is a gift. He's a gift. Okay, let's look very quickly at the last two words. And the third word is, look with me again. Let's go back to our main passage. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift, my Father, what? The word is promised. And so the third word I want us to think about with the Holy Spirit is the word promise. The word promise. So this can help us understand the Holy Spirit. God is the one who promises the Holy Spirit. And there's so many verses. Let me give us just a few very, very quickly. Let's see. Acts. So my Father promised. Acts 2. Oh, hang on. I'm skipping verses. So let's see. Here we go. Peter's preaching, day of Pentecost, and he says, therefore, Jesus, exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out what you now see and hear. All of us are promised things by people, right? Have you ever been disappointed by a person who has promised you something and they did not keep their promise? Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you for that enthusiastic, eager yes. Maybe you need counseling after the service. Come see me and we'll pray about it. All of us, it's true. All of us have been promised things before, and people didn't keep their promise. What I want us to see about the Holy Spirit this morning is this. God is the one who promised. And here's another name of the Holy Spirit. It's not just that the Holy Spirit is promised. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that he is even called the Spirit of promise? Did you know that? That's one of his names in Ephesians. The Spirit of promise. You can trust God. You can trust God. And I want to remind you of this. When Peter is preaching to them, do you know what he says? He says, they're saying, what is going on? Everybody's looking. What is this Holy Spirit? And Peter says, no, this is not weird. No, this is not flesh. No, these people aren't drunk. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Almost 700 years earlier, brothers and sisters. 700, they don't know exactly when the book of Joel was written. The Old Testament prophet Joel. Between 5 and 700 BC. It's roughly, so I'm just going to say around 700 years. Or 600 years if you want to be picky. That's okay. We'll split the difference, put it in the middle. And Peter says, no, this is what God was talking about. Think about this wonderful God who keeps such a promise. 600 years before, he says to people whose hearts are far from him, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on... I'm sorry, I'm having problems reading English. Would you help me read this word, please? On all people. On all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Old women, don't worry. You're not left out. I don't want to... That sounded rude. I don't mean that in a rude way. Because I'm a senior myself. This is a general description of what God will do. Everyone is included. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And God was promising, there will come a time when you won't have to look at a dusty book and try to figure out what it is, but I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All. And God's spirit will be poured out on everyone, and he will do his work. He will do his work. And this is the promise of God. There are many, 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 many other verses, but for the sake of time, because it's time to stop, we're going to close with the very last word. Are you ready? You should know what the last word is by now. From Acts 1:8, you already know, don't you? But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You and I, listen this morning as we come to a close. You heard Tobias give his testimony. I don't know where he is now. Maybe he's on the fourth floor. Then you can mention this to him. He said, I want to after water baptism, and water baptism is an important step. But do you know that the power to live a holy life comes from the person of the Holy Spirit who fills us? How are you going to forgive people who hurt you? That's not an easy thing to do. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to offer life to people who have no hope and are thinking of ending it all? You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to share Jesus with people who say, I don't want to hear about your Jesus? It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at these four words, baptism, which means, oh God, I yield. I yield and I receive everything you have for me. I want the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have promised the Holy Spirit. I need your power both to live and to do and to be and to speak and to love and to go. All of these must be through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I invite you, as we close this morning, very, very briefly, I want to give just a little bit of time And just we're just going to take a minute or two. I invite you with me just to close your eyes and open your heart to the Holy Spirit this morning. Whichever one of these words or all of them that resonated with you this morning, the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the gift, the promise, the power. And I just invite you with me just to say, Holy Spirit, just open your heart and your life to Him again this morning. In whatever way He wants to come, if you have been afraid of Him, say, I'm sorry, because we don't have to be afraid. If you have relegated Him to a very low position, say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You are God the Spirit, and you are central in my life. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts and our lives to you again. Holy Spirit, you are the one who makes us holy. Holy Spirit, you are the one who convicts and cleanses us in the church. Lord, where we have let things fill up our lives and our hearts and our attitudes that just are so unlovely and nothing like you, we invite you in. We invite you again to do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, forgive us for trying to serve you and work for you and speak for God in our own power because we thought we should and we have failed miserably. Come and fill us in your power, not because we want to be superstars, but because, Holy Spirit, we want you to be the star in our lives. Forgive us for thinking we had to qualify, but you're a gift. Forgive us for thinking, well, sometime I will, when it's a promise from you, oh God. Renew faith in our hearts and hunger in our hearts, oh God. Hunger in our hearts and hunger in us as a church, that we would truly be a lighthouse in a church where you, O Holy Spirit, have your way, not where we have our way, but where you lead us, where you equip us, where you empower us, where you bring life, where you heal, where you set people free, where you open Scripture to us and we learn about you, O Jesus, where you transform our lives because we are saying yes to you in every part and in every area. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, our families, our church, our jobs, classrooms, in every area. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Lighthouse. Have a great, great week in the Lord. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Keep your heart open. See what He will do.